That was Very Superstitious by Stevie Wonder. The following program may contain language or material that may be considered offensive to listeners. The views expressed are those of the host and his guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of WHRW or WHRW management. We therefore ask you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen. Now I'd like to welcome everyone to Atheists at the Table, your table, where everyone is an atheist, even the Christians, Jews, and you. Because let's face it, folks, according to someone in this world, you're an atheist as far as they're concerned. Vishnu lovers not believing in Jesus, whose worshippers in turn forsake the one true God, Allah, whose followers detest Zeus? Yes, indeed. It's a madhouse of irreligion out there, and we're here at Atheists at the Table to talk about it every Friday, 5:30 to 6 p.m., right here on WHRW 90.5 FM, Binghamton. If you want to join in our conversation, you can call us at 607-777-2137. Again, that's 607-777-2137. Or you can catch us on AOL Instant Messenger, AIM, where our screen name is WHRW Music. Finally, if you want to message us or get in touch with us between shows, you can email us at atheisttable@gmail.com. Again, that's atheisttable@gmail.com. And remember, the E comes before the I in atheist, despite what faith you might have had in grammar. Finally, for all show notes, news, links, and various updates from the host of the show, you can find our blog on the web at atheisttable.blogspot.com. Again, that's atheisttable.blogspot.com. All right, let's get down to it. My name is Edwin, your evangelical atheist host for the next half hour, and sitting to my left is...
Hi, I'm Paul, a weak atheist.
And across from me...
I'm Heather, and I'm an Episcopalian.
I'm Justin, and I'm a scientist.
I'm Mike, and I'm pretty much sort of a bunch of different things.
I'm Catherine, and I'm the agnostic apathist.
Awesome. Welcome, guys. Thank you. All right, so today we're going to start doing a little thing. I'm going to try and find something a little more rhetorically clever. But for right now, we're calling it our godless wisdom bit. And every week we're just going to kind of pull something, some little pithy statement, little pithy quotes together, and give them to you in a short spurt at the beginning of the show. All right, today's godless wisdom comes to you from www.MrWigglesLovesYou.com. Number 502, a webcomic by Neil Swab.
Hey, I just saw the funniest ad this morning.
Ugh, I hate advertising. It's just lies and manipulation used to create a false need for an unnecessary product. You know, it's kind of like religion when you think about it.
What?
Oh, religion is like advertising for God. I mean, even if God exists, nobody needs him, what with free will and all. And yet religion wants you to believe in him, spend your money on him, and trick you into thinking you can't live without him. It's a racket.
So, with that logic, you would make Jesus and the other prophets...
very popular celebrity mascots. You know, like the Energizer Bunny or Spuds McKenzie? Remember him? He was awesome.
Do you ever worry about going to hell?
See, now that's an example of negative advertising. The end. Thank you for listening. That was from a webcomic at www.MrWigglesLovesYou.com, performed by yours truly and Catherine, the agnostic apathist. All right, now for the news. From the Norwich Bulletin, dated February 26, the Supreme Court ruled Wednesday that governments that receive donations of Ten Commandments displays and other monuments for public parks are not compelled to take everything they are offered. According to wire reports, justices said officials do not violate free speech rights when they reject requests to display monuments. The decision stems from a case in which a small religious group, the Summum, wanted to force Pleasant Grove City, Utah, to place its granite marker in a park that is home to a Ten Commandments monument. The Summum argued a city can't allow some private donations of displays in its public park and reject others. The court distinguished the Summum's case from efforts to prevent people from speaking in public parks, which ordinarily would violate First Amendment rights. That's interesting. What do you think about the Supreme Court, the justices? Were they right in saying this?
Well, I have a question. Like, the Summum, did they make the request as, like, a marked statement saying, like, we don't expect our monument to be put up, but then neither should theirs?
Wait, what?
Like...
Was it more that they wanted their monument put up, or they didn't want... the Ten Commandments monument put up.
Basically, they were looking that they want their monument put up along with whatever other monuments have been put up. Basically, they want anyone's monument to be put up or none at all. Kind of a very childish thing.
Does anybody know what their monument was?
I wasn't able
or who
to.
They are.
I have no idea. I wasn't able to find that. I was looking this up. This is actually came out today. Late yesterday, rather, and I couldn't find that right away. I'll look it up while we're all talking about that. Summum. I've never heard of that before. Anyone heard of the Summum before?
No one?
Okay. Well, we tried. If anyone knows, you can call us at 607-777-2137. Here we go, Wikipedia. Let's see. Can Wikipedia do it for us? It's a cult and philosophy beginning in 1975... as a result of Claude Corky Nowell's alleged encounter with beings he described as summa individuals. According to Nowell, these beings presented him with concepts regarding the nature of creation, concepts that have always existed and are continually reintroduced to humanity, humankind, by advanced beings who work along the pathways of creation.
So it sounds like poor pronunciation is the name of a cult.
Yeah. Basically, this sounds like another version of Raelians. You guys know about the Raelians?
Yeah, yeah,
tell us about the Raelians.
Tell us.
Mike, do you know more about them?
I know that they're sort of a UFO cult. They have this guy, Rael, who supposedly had contact with aliens, who told him about how... apparently, they are technically atheists, but they believe that... they believe that the universe was intelligently designed by these advanced alien, you know, advanced alien species or something like that.
Yeah, right, okay. I'm looking on Wikipedia again. It's refreshing my memory. Basically, their thing is that all life on Earth was seeded and created by these extraterrestrials who they call the Elohim. Ha ha ha. A Jewish name for God. And basically, these aliens guided us throughout our upbringing on Earth, and their existences and their presence on Earth was what seeded some of the a lot of the religions that we have right now. Very interesting things. If there are any Raelians out there listening, please, please call in 607-777-2137. All right. Anything else, or should we move on?
Move on.
Okay. Next, compiled from a variety of sources, including thinkprocess.org, the News Channel, and the New York Times. Okay, that's where I'm getting all this from. Before we continue, I'd like to note that my views and opinions are expressed by myself, and the co-hosts express their own views and theirs alone, and they do not reflect the views of WHRW. All right, continuing. Governor Mark Sanford, a Republican of South Carolina, has said that he may not accept the stimulus funds allotted to his state, which total about $8 billion. Sanford offers not money to the citizens, the ailing citizens of his state, but prayers. Billions of dollars in benefits, including unemployment benefits, are being refused by the governor, even though thousands in his state are unemployed and are severely struggling to stay alive. The following is a reading of a transcript from a television call-in with Sanford. The caller says, "I hope you are all not playing politics with this. People in South Carolina are hurting. You know how unemployment rates are high right now and going up higher. We're running out of money in the unemployment bank. We need that. The people that need help. And I'm one of them. I can't get no help." And Sanford, Governor Sanford, replies, "Well, I'd like to say hello to Charleston." That's where the caller was calling from. "I'd like to say hello to Charleston because it's home. And I'd like to say hello to this fellow this morning and say that my prayers are going to be with him and his family because it sounds like he is in an awfully tough spot." And that's where Sanford stopped.
Charming.
Yeah, it was incredibly callous, incredibly cruel. Republican ideological grandstanding. It's absolutely deplorable. He's worried, basically, I did some more research on this, and he's basically worried about a future debt that our children, grandchildren will have to pay off. But it's our country now that needs help. Sanford claims that it's not a good idea to create more debt, which our grandchildren will have to pay off, which is absolute hogwash. With the state of things now, people are hurting now. We need to help people now. I mean, unless there's just some side of this that I'm not seeing, but I don't know. How are you guys reacting to this?
I guess I get it kind of, but it's not practical. Like, I get the ideology behind it.
Of not taking the money?
Yeah. You know, it's like, we'll try and fix it ourselves so that way we don't have debt down the line, which is kind of really how we got into this whole thing in this first place, I guess. But not really. I mean, that's stupid when there are so many people hurting.
Yeah. Ideologies are interesting and good, but people are hurting now. And if this situation does progress into the future, into a depression, people are going to be dying because of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just seems like...
It seems like it's a pretty serious situation. So, obviously, I mean, debt down the line isn't going to be preferable, but it's... In some respects, you know, what choice do we have?
Yeah, I mean, my thing with this is that, I mean, he's the governor and he was elected to care for the best needs of his people. And when his people are confronting him with sentences like that caller, and then he just says, "Well, I'm praying for you." That's not what he was elected for. He's not elected to pray for them. He's elected to listen to them. I mean, if he's got enough people who are saying, "Take the money," I feel like it's his job. I know he was elected to think in their best interests, but when they're telling him flat out,
even if he doesn't take the money, it, you know, it's like there's things he could do other than praying, which is really useless in the practical sense. He could be like, look, you know, I don't want to take this money. Here's why. Here's what we could do instead. You know, it's like if we all band together and pool what we have and work to get out of it without taking more help that can hurt us in the future. But he's not putting forth any practical solution. He's just saying, I'll pray for you, which is, what is that? That's nothing.
It's practically an insult.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Oh, so some further governmental evil in the developing story of the United Nations push to criminalize the defamation of religion. And I'm just going to play you a short clip. It's from YouTube. It's a clip from an episode of Lou Dobbs. I'm just going to play the first 3 minutes of this. It's kind of interesting. Have a listen.
There is a major effort taking place to curb free speech in this country, irrespective of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. And free speech advocates say the United Nations has come down on precisely the wrong side. The United Nations has adopted what it calls a resolution combating defamation of religions. The United Nations now wants to make that anti-blasphemy resolution binding on member nations, including, of course, our own. That would make it a crime in the United States if the United Nations were to have its way to criticize religion, in particular, Islam. Kitty Pilgrim has our report.
The UN General Assembly is considering a binding resolution urging member states to make it a crime to criticize Islam.
What they would do would be to make it illegal to put out a movie or write a book or a poem which somebody could say was defamatory of Islam.
The so-called anti-blasphemy resolution would call on governments to pass their own laws to determine what can be said about religion in public. The resolution urges states to provide, within their respective legal and constitutional systems, adequate protection against acts of hatred, discrimination, intimidation, and coercion resulting from defamation of religion. But the U.S. says the concept of defamation of religion has another meaning. While appearing in name to promote tolerance, the implementation of this concept actually fosters intolerance and has served to justify restrictions on human rights and fundamental freedoms. Even talking about the influence of Islam on terrorism could be called criminal under this resolution if adopted by an individual country.
You are entitled to say that in America. But not if the UN has its way. They would criminalize that kind of practice, and they are trying to do it elsewhere around the world.
A group of 57 Organization of Islamic Countries, the largest bloc at the United Nations, has been pushing it out of concern, it says, over anti-Islamic behavior, saying this resolution is a major step towards sensitizing the international community on the serious impact of defamation of religions. Last December, the General Assembly passed it as a non-binding resolution. And this year, a binding resolution is expected to be introduced as early as March. Human rights activists say its influence is already being felt.
There have been a number of prominent cases, most recently in India, for instance, the editor of a newspaper was charged for reprinting an article that had initially been printed in the UK.
While the article mentioned the three major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, the editor was arrested for, quote, hurting the religious feelings of Muslims. Now, essentially what this resolution was...
All right, thoughts?
Okay,
Disgusting.
Well, my thing is like, do they really think that telling people to shush is going to stop conflict? I mean, that's not going to do anything. It'll stop people from... Yeah, people might not be allowed to say anything bad against it, but it's not going to mean that they don't feel that way about it.
They're going to obey that at
yeah.
all.
Yeah,
I agree, yeah. Especially because, I mean, it's the UN doing this.
They'll just stop listening to the UN.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like the United States doesn't have a history of...
Yeah, but then that'll make us look bad.
I mean, no, they look bad. When was the last time we listened to the UN?
Look worse.
When was the last time we looked good?
Well, I know. But I'm just saying, like, especially now with this whole, like, global community thing, like, isn't Barack Obama's big thing? It's like he's going to make us not look like assholes. Like, I mean, it's a problem. We should petition to have the UN.
Just want to remind everyone that this program may contain language or material that may be considered offensive The views expressed of those the hosts and these guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of WHOW or WHOW management. We therefore ask you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen, and we request that our hosts use more PC language, please.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Back to the topic.
Okay. Did anybody else catch it where it said hinting that, you know, they said hinting that Islam may have had something to do with terrorism activities would be illegal? That's I don't think anybody's hinting at that. I think many people have outright said that.
Fact.
It is a fact. Is stating a fact now going to be illegal if they pass this? That's apparently ridiculous.
There's actually a person in Washington State, I believe I was, Justin, you read this, who's trying to pass a similar thing, but from a Christian and an intelligent design aspect where you can't speak out against intelligent design, and basically it puts it shushes up scientists.
Yeah,
as a
that
whole.
Was the we one that over as a
oh,
whole.
We did,
it's
we did?
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah,
we,
it's the one where they said basically the law would make science
right.
illegal
yeah.
to teach. Just if anybody's in support of that, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But just in relation to this UN motion to make blasphemy illegal, I just have to ask everyone out there who is in support of this, how goddamn weak is your faith that I mean, I know I've been criticized for being too polemic about religious issues and making, you know, people uncomfortable with their religion. And how weak is your faith that we can come in and make statements, simple our opinions and words coming out of our mouths, suddenly your God, who is supposedly omnipotent, is threatened. Your faith, which is supposedly so strong, is threatened. It's absolutely absurd. I mean, as far as us here at the radio show are concerned, if that law were passed and respected by the United States, we'd be criminals
like this,
and arrestable right now.
Yeah, things like this are only going to make people think even less of a religion that wants, you know, all these different safeguards on it. I know that, I mean, I frequent YouTube a lot, and one of the big controversies in the past has been that a lot of videos were censored and flagged by Muslims or people of various different faiths, but mostly Muslims, and it only negatively it didn't do anything to help them. Certainly not.
Yeah, I mean, it is my God-given right to say that God does not exist. I mean, come on, people. I don't know. It's a little bit frightening that it's moved so far ahead. I've been following this story since shortly after it got proposed to the United Nations, and the fact that it's still on the floor, that it's still being discussed, is a bit nerve-wracking.
Kind of makes you lose faith in the UN, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What faith?
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, let's make everyone feel a little bit better. A bit of science. In an article published in this month's Science magazine, anthropologists released their discovery of hominid footprints from approximately 1.51 to 1.53 million years ago in Ilret, Kenya. The footprints, probably from a Homo ergaster, thank you, are from a series of three trails containing between 2 and 7 footprints each. The truly extraordinary part of this is that they are decidedly morphologically different from the Australopithecine footprints, which were found in Laetoli, Tanzania, which were dated at 3.75 million years old. The difference shows that between 3.75 million BCE and 1.5 million BCE, hominins evolved what the article describes as an essentially modern human foot function and style of bipedal locomotion. As PZ Myers of the Pharyngula blog puts it, remember though, these are 1.5 million years old, 250 times older than the age of the Earth, according to creationists. That's a lot of wonder and history and evidence to throw away, but they do it anyway. Come on, guys, let's pull it together and accept reality for once. You can find this article by searching for the title in Google. The title is Early Hominin Foot Morphology Based on 1.5 Million Year Old Footprints from Ilret, Kenya. I'll also have that linked in on the blog, which is atheisttable.blogspot.com. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know, Justin, you're the scientist here. You excited?
Well, yes and no, but it's just more evidence on the same that I believe the Earth is millions upon millions of years old. people can tell me all day and all night it's 6,000 years old. Okay.
Show me
proof.
As a complete digression, I think it's really neat that it's like you couldn't get fossilized footprints now. I mean, because the Earth is so heavily trafficked. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be... I mean, they probably would, but the frequency of them happening, because there's so many more people and there's so much more traffic. Footprints? Yeah,
there's asphalt.
More footprints in, yeah, I mean, that's like, that's the thing.
True.
I mean, I just think that's...
Well, the footprints are usually found quite a bit far underground because of the different layers of rock from different eras.
Right.
True.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like now, I mean, how often do you see singular muddy footprints that last? Like, you know, because everyone tramples over it.
I don't know.
Well, even our least trafficked areas in the very rural parts of the world are still hundreds of times more trafficked than the most, you know, urban areas.
Well, you're also
going to
have
ago.
A hard time telling anything about present-day humans in the future because
we
most of
shoes.
Us are wearing shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it kind of ruins it. If you go to the Feringula blog, you can actually see photos of the footprints. It's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting. Speaking of Feringula, I'd like to share a posting from the blog that was posted earlier today. It's titled, "Who is buying all that porn?" PZ Myers writes, "An analysis of the consumption of internet pornography found that there are only small differences between states, but that there are some patterns. The patterns will not surprise anyone. The biggest consumer, Utah, averaged 5.47 adult content subscriptions per 1,000 home broadband users. Montana bought the least with 1.92 per 1,000. The differences here are not so stark," Edelman says. 8 of the top 10 pornography-consuming states gave their electoral votes to John McCain in last year's presidential election. Florida and Hawaii were the exceptions. While 6 out of the lowest 10 favored Barack Obama. So Republican states gobbled up more naked pictures than Democratic states. But of course, one could argue that it was just the few Democrats in Utah who were slavering most obsessively over porn while the Republican Mormons were being upright. No, wait, that's probably the wrong word. Montana is a conservative state too, but maybe the ready availability of all those cows helped slake their forbidden lusts. What about all those good Christians? States where a majority of residents agreed with the statement, "I have old-fashioned values about family and marriage," bought 3.6 more subscriptions per 1,000 people than states where a majority disagreed. A similar difference emerged for the statement, "AIDS might be God's punishment for immoral sexual behavior." Now we all know what values is a code word for.
Oh,
that was a pretty fun article right there.
Agreed.
So basically, Republicans are horn dogs. And
I don't know if like that's
and cows are an outlet for sexual repression.
Moo means moo.
That was funny. Thank you, Heather.
New promotions: get porn, leave the cows alone. PSA, right?
PETA is the new advocate for pornography, apparently.
Yeah, they are.
Actually, I think Ron Jeremy did
PETA,
an advertisement
safe
for them.
Sex.
Yeah.
All right, so next, I guess we'll go over... There's been a very humorous exchange between Richard Dawkins and Ray Comfort. For those of you who don't know, Richard Dawkins is one of the big-name spokespersons of atheism worldwide, who's been dubbed by some as the Pope of Atheism. He's most famous for his work, The God Delusion. And before I tell you who Ray is, I must express that these words are my opinion only. Ray Comfort is an evangelical biblical literalist Christian and a professional buffoon, a well-known, incredibly obstinate, fatuous buffoon. I cannot express how silly this little man is. I can only say that for a better view of his inanity, I regularly read his blog at raycomfortfood.blogspot.com to get my daily guffaws in. Well, according to Dawkins' website, one of Comfort's representatives came forth to Dawkins offering $10,000 to debate him, and Dawkins replied that $10,000 was a miserly sum compared to the usual offerings, which, when he's in front of serious audiences, usually composed of students, he often declines the money. He calls himself a dedicated teacher. Dawkins said that the only sufficient payment would be $100,000 to go directly to the Richard Dawkins Foundation for Reason and Science. which is a beautiful irony in getting Comfort not only to part with an extraordinary amount of money, but in doing so, to hurt Comfort cause and help Dawkins. Comfort, in return, offered $20,000, but Dawkins, of course, refused, and he clarified that he wasn't doing it to get rich, but rather to ensure that the $100,000 would be unavailable for Comfort to buy, quote, animatronic dinosaurs with saddles and other similar nonsense. This will definitely be something to watch out for in the coming months. A debate between Dawkins and Comfort would be the height of true hilarity. For those of you who know Dawkins, am I right in saying that he's the one who is against debating creationists, right?
I think so, yeah.
He's one of those. Okay, yeah. There's kind of a argument going on between scientists about whether they should argue, whether they should debate creationists or not. If they debate them, then they're giving, you know, credibility to the creationists, which we don't want to happen. Things like that. But I don't know, would you... I kind of would like to see this happen.
Great Comfort's just a barrel of laughs, so I would love to see this.
I think it's awful, this Richard Dawkins person, because, I mean, nobody should have to go without an animatronic dinosaur with a saddle. Nobody. That's terrible. Like, I'm crying on the inside just thinking about it and how I don't have one.
Who wouldn't want to ride a dinosaur, you know?
Triceratops, yeah.
Brontosaurus.
Oh, high five.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know... For those of you on the interwebs, Ray Comfort, you might know him from his video, An Atheist's Worst Nightmare, where he makes some really interesting... Yeah, we're getting pointed at the time, but there's no one in here to take over.
It's supposed to be Carl, and he was here.
Are you ready to take over? Okay, then. All right. Well, for those of you interested, look up Atheist's Nightmare, and you'll see a video called Banana, An Atheist's Worst Nightmare. And it's absolutely hysterical.
Oh, I know about that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
There's an even better one called Peanut Butter, The Atheist's Nightmare, which, I mean, Ray Comfort sounds like Einstein compared to this guy. It's great. You'll see it on the sidebar if you know YouTube. All right, so I'd just like to thank everyone for listening. Remember, you can catch us every Friday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. right here on WHRW 90.5 FM, Binghamton. If you want to send us a message, you can do so by emailing us at atheisttable@gmail.com. For all show notes, news, links, and various updates from the host of the show, you can find our blog on the web at atheisttable.blogspot.com. Also, look for us on iTunes, where you can listen and download podcast reproductions of all of our past shows, and this one as well. As we say farewell, I'd like to invite all of our atheist and atheist-friendly listeners to join us down at Dickinson Dining Hall for continued discussions at Atheists at the Dinner Table. All right, and that's something we're going to be making a regular occurrence, and we're going to get a table reserved next week to make sure it's something we can do regularly and have a place and really have a presence on campus. All right, everyone, thank you, and we'll see you next week. We'll leave you again with Stevie Wonder, Very Superstitious. You can keep
should be.